Psalm 127. Let's read this passage of Scripture. Just five verses. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now here in this passage of Scripture, two things I think we should consider before we look at this. One, and this is referenced in these verses, man's responsibility. Man's responsibility. You know, we have responsibilities. Children have a responsibility to obey their parents. Husbands, we have a responsibility to love our wives. We have a responsibility to believe God's word as it's revealed in Scripture. We have a responsibility to raise our children under the sound of this gospel. As I stand here before you this morning, I have a responsibility to preach God's word, to faithfully declare the truth from God's word. The truth about man, man's sinfulness. The truth about God, who's holy and righteous and just in all that he does. And tell the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to believe on him, to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe him as our only God, our only Lord, and only Savior. But all that said, God is absolutely and totally sovereign in all that he does. The Scriptures declare this, that he'll have mercy on whom he'll have mercy. That he's gracious to whom he will be gracious. That he'll save whom he chooses, whom he determines to save. We read this, it's not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So with these two points in mind, let's consider these few verses here this morning. Psalm 127 verse 1 says this, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Back in Ecclesiastes 9:10, we read this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Put everything you got into it. Whether you're a builder or a watchman or whatever it is the Lord has given us to do, he says, you do it with all your might. You do it as unto the Lord. Well, we shouldn't lose sight of this, though. Our Lord said this. He said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Hebrews 3:4, every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. Who does the work? To whom are we dependent upon? Who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? The Lord Jehovah. The Lord Jehovah. Except the Lord build. And that word build, it means Just what it says, to build. We know what it means to build something, right? It's not to remodel. It's not to make things better. It's not a, what we see this show on HGTV, that fixer upper. They go in and they take something old and they make it better. That's not the work he does in his people. Except the Lord make. This is his work. He said, old things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. New. All things new. It's his work. And anything apart from God doing the work, it's vain. It's vain. And that word means evil. It means useless. Like those men and their efforts back in turn back to Genesis 11. Genesis chapter 11. Remember, they were going to build that tower. Those men were going to build that tower. Look at verse 3. Here we read, they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. That right there is the language of false religion. Listen to that. Let us make. Isn't that what false religion is? This is in our hands to do these. Let us build. Let us make us a name. My friends, if the Lord build not the house, they labor in vain to build it. You know, false religion, their efforts might be genuine. They might be sincere. They may be for a good cause. But without Christ, nothing. Nothing. And you know, when a house is built, again, it's something new. The old house is tore down, or you take a piece of land and you go and you build a house. It's a new house. And this thing of salvation, it's his building. It's his doing. And then in the same manner, you take a sinner, it's salvation is of the Lord. Salvation, it's completely and totally of him. It's by his will. It's by the will of God. It takes a work of his sovereign, eternal, electing love and predestination to save a sinner. Ephesians 1. Turn to Ephesians 1 with me. Look in the verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in heaven, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his will. It's by his blood. It's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The salvation of a sinner requires a blood atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Turn to Romans chapter 3. But beginning with verse 24 of Romans 3. Here we read, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a sin offering, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier. Third, it's a work of God's providence. His providence. God's providence. His ordering and directing of all things. Those things that we consider to be good things. Those things we consider to be bad things. Those significant events that we can see. And even those insignificant things that pass by and we don't even catch a glimpse of them. It's of His providence. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It's a work of His sovereign and irresistible grace. The electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, the invincible love of the Holy Spirit. Paul writing to Timothy, he said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He saves us by His gospel, the Word of God. The world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Paul writing to the Romans, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. It's a work of God's preservation. Salvation is a work of God's preservation. Turn back to Psalm 127, back to our text. God preserves and He keeps His people. Look at that text again there. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city. Except He hedge it about. Except He protect it. Except He save it. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman, he waketh but in vain. That watchman's efforts are useless. They're vain. A little over a year ago, just around midnight at our house, and my wife and Abby and her mom and all of her brothers, we all lived together. Just in that they call it Simpson Valley. We just all lived together, pretty close together. I think we could throw a rock and hit each other's houses. But around midnight, Abby got a text from our sister-in-law, from Carrie, and Carrie said, Abby, what's all those flashlights up around your all's house? I don't know. She said, it looks like there's a car parked in your all's driveway. So needless to say, got up to see what was going on, and went outside out by our chicken coop. And there was a blazer parked, a black blazer parked in our driveway, and immediately I was met by sheriff deputy And first thing he said was, get that flashlight out of my face. I had a flashlight. I looked around trying to see what's going on. What's happening here? He said, we're searching for a suspected murderer. And he said, you check your cars. And he said, you make sure they're locked. And he said, you make sure your house is locked. And he said, if you've got a gun, he said, I would strongly suggest you have it close by. He said, we've got this fella pinned down. And we looked up and you could see all these, at that time, all these flashlights. So immediately went back in the house, checked all the doors, had a pistol on one side of the bed and had a double barrel shotgun on Abby's side of the bed. And stayed up that whole night. Didn't sleep. Didn't sleep a wink. Next day, still searching. Didn't sleep a wink. That next night, tried to lay down and tossed and turned and couldn't sleep. Couldn't sleep a wink. And about 3 in the morning, and keep in mind, there probably by this time, there were at least 100 law enforcement people from Kentucky and West Virginia and Ohio all looking for this fella. About 3 a.m. in the morning, this passage of Scripture, the Lord gave me this passage of Scripture. Except the Lord keep the city. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh in vain. Now I'll let you, I preached this before and Abby said, you've got to let people know they found that fella before you go any further. They caught the fella, okay? But I read that passage of Scripture. It was the next day they found that fella. Read that passage of Scripture, and you know, I just laid down my head on that pillow and went to sleep. Just went to sleep. You know, he keeps our physical bodies. He keeps us. But more importantly, he keeps our souls. He protects and he keeps his people. And listen, we're kept. What's the scripture say? We're kept by the power of God, by Almighty God. Over in Jude, we read, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, before the presence of a holy God, with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. That old hymn writer, more secure is no one ever than the loved ones of the Savior. Proverbs 2:8 says this, he keepeth the paths of judgment, and he preserveth the way of his saints. Just as he did Joseph. I wonder how many nights Joseph must have woke up thinking, what in the world is going on? What, from the time he was cast down into that pit, to being placed in prison, to be exalted on Pharaoh's throne, to the time he met with his brothers and he looked at them and he said, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. And I'm always amazed to think there's no record he ever brought that up again. It's put away. God meant it for good. Just as he kept David from running from Saul, when he was running from Saul, or when he fled from Absalom. Just as he kept Rahab, that whole city's going to be destroyed. But Rahab and her family, that scarlet cord, delivered, safe and secure. Just as he keeps and delivers all of his sheep. All of them. All for whom Christ died. Look at Psalm 121. Thought I'd read a portion of this, but there's not a good place to start or stop. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He'll not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. It's vain. Oh, we do it, but it's vain to rise up early. Look at verse 2. It's vain to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Let me ask you, would you go about to establish your own righteousness? Would you go about to do things your way? Will you seek salvation by the works of the law? You know they build, and they watch, and they rise up early, and they sit up late, and they eat the bread of sorrows. Have I repented enough? Have I given enough? Have I resisted enough? Oh, they eat the bread of sorrows. I read that Martin Luther used to beat himself with a whip. What, at times to the point of being unconscious. Acts 8:49 says this: Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What will you build me? What are we going to do for God? Oh, but He giveth. He saves. He keeps. He gives His beloved sleep. Rest. Why would we rest anywhere else but in Him? Turn to Acts 12. Acts 12. Look at beginning with verse 1 of Acts 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. He was going after them. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he caught him, he put him in prison, and he delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. And that was just extra men and extra shifts to make sure that he wasn't going anywhere. Four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth. Herod. Okay, when he was going to bring him forth. The same night, Peter was sleeping. Listen, not fretting, not wringing his hands, not thinking, what am I going to do? He was sleeping. And look where he was sleeping. He was sleeping between two soldiers. Those men that were given to guard over him, bound with chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Who's keeping Peter? Huh? The Lord is. Almighty God is keeping him. The believer can rest right now. Right now, resting in God's love, in His righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, we can rest in eternity. Free from fear, free from doubt, free from sin. He's put it away. He's put it away. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. You know, David, when he was fleeing from Absalom, he said this. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. Consider that. He said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Ain't that amazing that God hears the cry of his people? And listen, he heard me out of his holy hill, and I laid me down and slept. And then I waked for the Lord. For the Lord sustained me. He kept me. Now back to our text. We'll finish up here. Psalm 127. Look at verse 3. Lo, children. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. What a blessing. What a blessing to know this, that not only does the Lord build the house, he builds his house, and he keeps his house, but he'll also fill his house, won't he? Children are an inheritance. They're not a wage. They're a blessing. They're not a burden. They're a gift of God's grace. And he says, they're arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Spurgeon said this. I thought this was pretty good. He said, we must have our children in hand when they're young, or they're not likely to be so when they're grown. We must point them and straighten them and make arrows of them in their youth, continually pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be faithful to do that. May we be faithful to bring our children, encourage our children to hear the word, to listen to the word. May it be said of our children what Paul said of Timothy, from a child, you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You know, as fathers, we're instructed to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't provoke them to wrath. Remember their children. And boy, As a dad, I'll say this. That's hard to... Isaac, you've probably suffered the brunt of that a few times because it's so hard sometimes to remember that children are just... They're just that. They're children. They're just children. But that's our responsibility, to bring them up under the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And oh, that he might be pleased in his time to be merciful to them, to save their souls, to put them in his quiver. Put them in his quiver where they're safe and secure as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. To point them and direct them. He who is mighty to save. Aren't we thankful? Don't we have every reason to be thankful for his mercies to us? Almighty God, in his mercy and grace, he builds his house, he keeps his house, and he fills his house with his children. Children of all ages. But he'll fill his house. Turn with me to one more passage of scripture. One more scripture here. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Look at the first six verses here of Hebrews chapter 3. Beginning with verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. As Moses was verily faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were spoken after, but Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? Believers in Christ, called living stones, a spiritual house in whom Christ dwelleth. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? All right. We'll stop right there. Oh, he builds his house, keeps his house, he fills his house. All right.
Stop again.